Okay. So I know it's already Thursday. It's going to feel a little stale. So to be mashma, so Izzy brought stuff that's not stale at all. That's very fresh. This is a Parshas Nasai discussion. Parshas Nasai has the Birkas Kehanim. If you're coming from Eretz Yisrael, so it's very stale because you have to Parshas Shlach. you heard about this already?
The longest parsha should be here twice.
I missed my parsha.
No, I didn't miss my. They learned, yeah. Well, in my meaning, they learned for Rishon, for Koyen, is it all by Midbar in the first Chelik of.
Last year in Nasai was, at least in Kew Gardens, that was the year that was the week that people went back to Shul. So a lot of people did a little bit of extra leaning that day. All right. Anyway, but in Parshas Nasai is the Birkas Kehanim. Baruch Hashem Yishmeracha, Yer Hashem Panav Elecha, Naka Yisa Hashem Panav Elecha, V'Simcha Shalim. There's a discussion, a very well-known discussion in the Beis Halevi. It's really probably the most widely quoted Lamda Shtickle from the Beis Halevi. When I say Lamda Shtickle, meaning he has a Sefer of Drush, you know, Al HaTorah, where he gets quoted much more widely, but his so to speak, main Torah, his main legacy really is his Lamdisha raid. And this is probably the most well-known of his Lamdisha shtetl, but it's a very hard piece to find. Because in the Sefer Shas HaTshuvas Beis HaLevi, which is his main Sefer, it's not there. It's a piece that got put into his Sefer on Drush. He has a Sefer on Drush that covers Bereishis and Shemais. What happened after that, I have no idea. It's a bit of a mystery. How come there's no Beis HaLevi on Be'ukar Devarim? I'm sure he had Torah on. But we only have published from him Beis HaLevi on Bereishis and Shemais. At the end of Bereishis, you know, in those days, it was without word processing, right? So you put together a Sefer, you made the pages, and if you had an even number of pages, so it ended on an Amud Beis. If you had an odd number of pages, so it ends on an Amud Aleph, and then if he had Bereishis and Shemois in the same volume, so he wanted to start Shemois, like with a page one again. Mm-hmm. Bereishis ended on an Amud Aleph, so he had a blank page. And you know, you're paying by the page, so he wanted to put something there. So he put a few shtiklach there on totally random topics, and there's no heading on the page. You can't even give a Mara Makam. You can't say, you know, that it's a certain parsha, a certain simon, certain anything. There's no heading on the page. It's just random shtiklach on the last page of Beis HaLevi on Bereishis. And over there, he writes the following. He said that he heard a chiddush from somebody. He says a chacham, I think he calls it a chacham echad. They wanted to say a chiddush that by Birkas Kehanim, one kohen should say the Birkas Kehanim, and everyone, all the Kehanim go up to the front, all the Kehanim hold out their hands, and then one of them should say Yivarechacha, and everyone else listen, and be yaitu the Shemei Ka'ina. All the Kehanim have a mitzvah of benching B'nai Yisrael, of saying Yivarech Hashem V'Yishmerecha, but okay, we have a halacha of Shemei Ka'ina, we have a halacha that, you know, by Kiddush, you come to the Shabbos table, you have a family of two, of five, of ten. Everyone has a mitzvah of Kiddush, but the minhag, universally, in Klal Yisrael, is that one person makes Kiddush and everyone else listens, and you get to Shemei Ka'ina. When you come to Shul on Purim for Mikra Megillah, everyone has a mitzvah of Mikra Megillah, and yet the minhag is that there's a Valkyrie and everybody else listens. So this Chacham Echad said that we could do the same thing with Birkas Kehanim. You have five Kehanim in the Shul, they all have a mitzvah of saying the bracha, but you could have one of them actually say it, and everyone else listens, and is yitzvah shemei ka'ina. That's the chiddush of the Beis HaLevi quotes b'shem the Chacham Echad, and he says that if only it was correct.
But the Chacham says you can't do it that way, or you should do it that way.
So I think he says that you can. I don't think he says that you have to, but just that you can.
Isn't the Lashon Rabim in the Tzivui in the Torah? Kohanim, right?
Yes, that's true. That's true. But this theory would be claiming that, well, first of all, everyone has to go up.
Right.
So, but also if Shemei Kohen, it's like they're all responding. Okay. But I hear, you're right. We do say the Lashon Rabim as if we expect everybody to respond. So this Chacham Echad said one person, it would be, at least that it would be an acceptable practice for one Kohen to say it, and everyone else listens, and the Zayis V'Shemeya Kohenah. And the Beis HaLevi says that had this been correct, obviously you can guess already where he's heading, but had this been correct, it would be very gishmak, because it would answer a kasha that we've been struggling with for centuries. He doesn't mean himself personally. Klai Yisrael has been struggling with for centuries, and this is the best teretz that we ever heard. What's the kasha? Before we get to what he thinks about whether the actual chiddush is correct. The Mishnah in Megillah Daf Chaf Dalet, it says, Hamaftir b'Navi, who Oyver L'Fnei Ateva, who Peiris Al Shema, who Noiseyas Kapov. This Mishnah, Hamaftir b'Navi.
The Master. Okay.
Yeah. So the theme of the Mishnah is one that's pretty funny to most of us nowadays, that we have to do something to appease the one that volunteer for maftir. That sounds ironic, because by uns, shena gereza kibud, think maftir. But it was considered once upon a time to be a little bit degrading, because we just called up Yamoid, seven people in a row, and they got to read from the Torah. And then we call up this guy, and yeah, you read from the Navi. You know? Well, that's all I'm worth. Everyone else gets to read from the Torah, and I just read from the Navi. So it's a little degrading. Lamaisa, there's a minig of you know, being maftir b'Navi. Somebody's got to do it, but it was considered a little degrading. So Chazal said, okay, we'll make it up to him that if you're willing to be maftir b'Navi, so we'll throw on all these other kibudim also. You could daven for the Amud. So the Mishnah says, I'm maftir b'Navi, who pares al Shema? That means he's the chazan for Kaddish, for Baruch Hu. Hu Oyver L'Fnei Ateva, which means that he's the chazan for Chazar Sashatz. Again, this is all a little bit foreign to us. Nowadays it's just, you know, the chazan is the chazan. Back then, it was a little more broken up. Kriya Shema, you know, nowadays Kriya Shema Tefillah is all, we just call that davening. But if you're learning, you know, whether it's Pesachas Brachas or in the Rambam or in the Shulchan Aruch, these are really totally different sections. There's Hilchas Kriya Shema, there's Hilchas Tefillah. They get put together because there's a mitzvah to be same with Gula and Tefillah. But they're really two separate inyanim. And so the Mishnah refers to the Peiris Al Shema, which really means he's the Chazan for Birchas Kriya Shema, and the Oivel Fnei Ateva, which really means he's the Chazan for Shemayna Esrei. So the Mishnah says that Hamafter B'Navi, so we owe him some extra kibudim. So who Peiris Al Shema, who Oivel Fnei Ateva, v'hu Neisei Eskapov. And he's the one that does Duchanan. Now, obviously, that means if he's a Kohen. If he's not a Kohen, he can't do Duchanan. Fine, so he's a Kohen. But still, but what does it mean? He's the one that does Duchanan. If he's a Kohen, of course he does Duchanan. All the Kohanim do Duchanan. So on that Mishnah, Tesis Yantif, on the Mishnah, it's interesting. In the Rishonim, I'm not aware that any of the Rishonim talk about the Kasha. What was the, how did they understand Pashup Shana on the Mishnah? I don't know. But the Tesis Yantif says that the Mishnah is very schwer. What do you mean that he's Neisei is Kapov? All the Kohanim are Neisei as Kapayim. If he's not a Kohen, then obviously he can't. If he is a Kohen, then he's going to do it anyway. So what's the extra kibud here? So let's put it on hold. Obviously, with the Beis Levi is going to say that this Eitz from the Chacham Echa will be a great solution. But putting that on hold, first, just a little bit of the overview of what were the ideas that were suggested, Legabi, this. So the Turi Evan, who was in the 1700s, about a century before the Beis HaLevi, he suggested that, you know, there's a halacha by Birkas Kehanim about an ir shakula kehanim. What do you do in an ir shakula kehanim? Everybody's a kohen. So in our shuls, you have kehanim, you have non-kehanim, so the kehanim go up to the front, and the Israelim stay in the back or in the main section, and the kehanim bench the rest of them. Ir shakula kehanim, so everybody's going to go up to the front. So then who are they benching?
Who
washes their hands? That's a good point also. I don't know what the answer is to that. The halacha is... So here's the halacha, that once there are more than 10, so we'll have one kohen go up to the front, and 10 are going to play the role of Yisraelim. They stay in the main part of the shul, and the one benches all of them, and they answer Amen. If there are, if is whatever amount there are more than 10, if there's, let's say there's 15, so 5 will go up and duchen, and but you always have 10 in the audience. That's what Mishnah is saying. You have to have 10 in the audience, and then whatever there is more than 10, meaning 11 or more, so then you'll have some that go up. That's the halacha by Yerusha Kulikahana. It comes from Yushami, it's brought down to Shulchan Aruch. So it seems like, my impression is that if it's just 10, then they don't do it.
What if you have one Yisrael, well, 5 and 5, let's say?
Then they do it. Yeah, meaning
they bench 5 Yisrael.
Right, right. So you're saying it's strange. What if we don't need 5 in the audience, right. So why over there do we require 5 in the audience? That's a good question. I think that's the way the halacha is written by Yerusha Kulikahana, that it's only if there's more than 10, then you have someone go and duchen. So Zokta Turiya, then maybe that's the case that the mission is going on. And then it's saying that then, let's say you have 11, so one of them is chosen to be the Nice Ace Kafeim, or there are 15, so 5 of them are going to be chosen to be the Nice Kafeim. But how do you decide who goes up to the front? That's obviously the more Muchabudika position. So Hamafti Benovi, who Nice Ace Kapov? Now, if you're in a situation where you're going to have to pick and choose which Kehanim yes and which Kehanim not, such as in an Irsha Kula Kehanim, so then the Mafter Benavi, he's guaranteed a spot among those that are nice and Eskapayim. So that's a pshat, it works, but obviously it's a daichik, because, you know, in most cases, you don't have this, right? It's only in an obscure case of the Irsha Kula Kehanim, which doesn't happen all the time. I mean, the last time Klai Sol tried that was in Noiv, and that didn't work so well. So we don't usually have a Irsha Kula Kehanim. But in that case, so this will be the halacha. That's the Turi Evans 8 stuff. The Rashash, which is already 1800s, the Rashash has a different suggestion. Wow, you can hear me down there? It's so geschmack. The Rashash says that there's another case that's talked about. There's a mission in Brachas, and it says the mission in Brachas is very concerned about, you know, we do Birkas Kehanim in the middle of Chazaras Hashatz, and people could get farblanjit. People could get mixed up and lose their place. So it says that the Shliach Tzibur, the Chaz, is not supposed to answer Amen. Everybody else answers Amen. We all answer Amen. We all answer Amen. The Chazan shouldn't answer Amen. The one that's saying Chazar Sashatz should not answer Amen. Because he'll get confused, then it's going to be hard for him to transition into some Shalom. So he should just stay quiet and then go into some Shalom.
And that's still what's being done.
What?
It's still done that way.
Yeah, yeah. And then the Mishnah says, let's say the Shliach Tzibur is himself a Kohen. So then the halacha is tricky. The Lashon of the Mishnah is very confusing. The Lashon of the Mishnah, I think, is like this. That, im ein sham kohen elohu, lo yisa eskapov, ela im kein muvtach, ela im havtachos say shehu chayzel tefilasai. So what does this Mishnah say? That he should not, it says, im ein sham kohen elohu, meaning if he's the only kohen, then im haftachosei shu chayzel tefilasai, which means if he's confident he can go back to davening without getting mixed up, then he should be nisei es kapov. Which means the simple reading of the Mishnah sounds like there's two conditions that have to be met. That it has to be ein sham kohen elohu, and also that he's confident he can get back to his davening. In other words, what we're nervous about is the Mishnah in Brachas Lamed Aleph. What we're nervous about is that he's gonna do the Birkas Kehanim, and then he's supposed to go back to Sim Shalim, and it's going to be hard. He was just, you know, we're accustomed to saying Sim Shalim in Shemayin Esrei. Sim Shalim. But if he was just saying Yisrael Shampanim Vlachas Sim Shalim, and then he's supposed to start Sim Shalim, we're afraid he's going to lose his place, get mixed up. So we say that he shouldn't do it unless he's confident he can go back. Then he could imain Sham Kayin Elohu. Now, the whole thing about getting mixed up, so the Mishnah Berurah really brings down that about 500 years ago, Klal Yisrael got over this problem because we invented something called a siddur. Now everybody has a siddur in front of them. It didn't used to be that way. It used to be that they didn't have siddurim, obviously not printed, but even written. They were written siddurim were very hard to come by. Oh, right, the smart, with the smartphones, that If they only had smartphones, they wouldn't even need a printing press. You know? So the Chazan was somebody who was an expert at davening. That's why he was the Chazan, because he knew the tefillahs very well. But he couldn't make it hard for him. So to do the Birkas Kehanim while you're also doing the Chazaras Hashatz, that's what the Mishnah was nervous about. So the Mishnah said, it's only im haftachosit shumuftach shuchayzlot tefillasai, meaning he has to be very confident. But about 500 years ago, the policeman said, if you have a sitter, then we could consider you confident. We don't worry anymore about getting all mixed up. But Dr. Machaber, but if you read the Mishnah carefully, the Mishnah is saying that it's two conditions. Even after haftachas yishuhu muftach, but it's only im ein sham kohen elohu. It's only if he's the only kohen, meaning the Mishnah apparently had two concerns. One concern is that we're afraid he's going to get farblanja. So we eliminated that concern nowadays. But there's another concern. It's not clear in the Mishnah what the other concern is, but the Beis Yosef says, and he thinks the pshat is, because you're not supposed to walk around in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. And Birkas Kehanim, first of all, there's this halacha that you can only be Neitzei's Kapov if you walked towards the front during Avodah. So, and then you have to turn around and face the Tzibur. So what's the Shliach Tzibur supposed to do? The way, if we would actually implement this, if in the situation where all the conditions are met, and it's Ein Shem Kayin Elohu, and he's Muftacham, Haftachas Yishu, Chayzal Tfilasai, so we would tell him to jump forward a little bit during Ritzei, and then after Moedim, to turn around, and try to do all of that without moving his feet. So obviously that's not plan A for anybody. So that's why it's only an ancient Kohen Elohu. So even after it's Haftachas Yishu, Chayzal Tfilasai, but it's only im ein sham kohen elohu. Otherwise, we say, no, just skip it. Halacha l'maisa, here in America, it's not all that negay. We only have duchanin a couple of times a year. So that, on Yontif, the Baal Musaf, we don't send up a kohen to be a Baal Musaf. In Eretz Yisrael, this halacha is very negay, because, if a kohenim down for the Amud, sometimes if a kohen is a chiyiv, that be down for the Amud all year, and then what's he supposed to do? So
Svardim.
Right. Svardim. Even in America, I think most Svardim do that. Yes, yeah. Right, that's true. Do you know what he did?
Very interesting. I'm pretty sure
he duchen. He duchen. Okay.
He jumps.
So it's interesting, in the Mishnah Berurah, the Mechaber says that even nowadays that we have Sidurim, but it's only im ein sham kohen elohu. The Mishnah Berurah, right, he brings down that the Pri Chodesh argued. The Pri Chodesh said that the main problem was the getting mixed up, and nowadays that we have Sidurim, it's better than the Mishnah. The Mishnah was saying, if you're confident, then we'll let you Amein Shem Kohen Elohu, because it was really all about getting mixed up. Even if you're confident, but we're you may be confident, we're not so confident, so we only allow it if Amein Shem Kohen Elohu. But the Pri Chodesh said, nowadays that we all have Sidurim, there's only really nothing to worry about. And if the Chazan is a Kohen, let him do it, no problem. But the Mechaber said not like that. And the Mishnah Berurah said that really the Iker is like the Mechaber, but then in the Sharet Siyun on the bottom, he brings down, however, the Pri Chodesh argues, and in some places they're not like that, and if that's the Minug, that's the Minug. And what's the Halacha L'maisa in Eretz Yisrael? My understanding is that there are some places where they're noyig like the Pri Chodesh, and they allow the Kohen to duchen, and in some places they're noyig not like that, and I'm sure there are a lot of places like, in the Shtibloch where...
I've been to a lot of minyanim that had that.
That what?
The Kohen, he was about filler, he turned around.
That's what you've seen.
I've seen it many times. Okay. I lived in Israel for 10 years.
Okay. Do you know if you've seen the other way?
You don't see a negative.
Right.
How would you know? Someone else called out.
You've right. Right. You know, uh-huh. I see that. That's what I'm saying. I call all the time someone else calling out. Someone else. Exactly.
Right. But somebody else was calling out. So maybe that is the more widespread minhag. Again, the Shulchan Aruch is not like that. The Mishnah Berurah really endorses not like that. But he brings down at the bottom, but some are not like that. And if that's a minhag, that's your minhag. Like he acknowledges that it could be an acceptable minhag. Kopanim. So that's the halacha, as it's been developed, in recent centuries among the Achrayim, how we're knowing nowadays. But going back to the Mishnah says that if you have confidence that you could do it without getting mixed up, we let but only a main Shem Kohen Elohu. That was the Lashon of the Mishnah. Zok the Rashash, that maybe the Pshat in our Mishnah is that that's all if you're not the Maftir. But HaMaftir B'Novi, we give him this privilege that that if he's the Chazin, which he will be, right? Because the Mishnah just said that he's Noisei Eska, he's Ovi L'Fnei Ateva. Ordinarily, the Ovi L'Fnei Ateva, even if he's Kohen, he's not supposed to Dochen unless he's the only one. But if he was Maftir B'Novi, then he could Dochen if he's not the only one. So this Pshat of the Rashash is, I would say, a little bit of an improvement over the Turi Evan in that it's not just for one bizarre scenario of an Ir Shekula Kehanim, because over here, even though, again, it might seem like an unfamiliar scenario that the Chazan is a Kayin, but the Mishnah just said that a Maftir B'Novi, he's supposed to be the Chazan. So it's going to always happen. If the Maftir B'Novi was a Kayin, so then he's going to be the Chazan, and then Memela, the Chazan is going to be a Kayin, so then you'll have this situation where the Mishnah says, really, we don't like this person to Duchen, but in the case that he was the Maftir B'Novi, then he should Duchen. That's the Rashash's Pshat. So again, so those are the options that had been come up with, that had been suggested until this piece that the Beis HaLevi's writing, where you heard this Chacham Echad that said that Birkas Kehanim could be done with Shemei Koine. So the Beis HaLevi, if Birkas Kehanim could be done with Shemei Koine, then that's the simple solution in this Mishnah. Maybe that's really the Minhag. That was supposed to be the minhag that, just like Kriya Mikra Megillah is done with one Baal Keri and everybody else listens, if it's true that Birkas Kehanim is also done with just one Kayin and everybody saying it out loud and the other Kehanim listen, then the Mishnah is very straightforward. The Mishnah says, Hamafter B'Navi, who Naisei is Kappa, meaning he's the one that does it out loud and everybody else listens. So he said, we never had a good pshat, but if in that Mishnah about Hamafter B'Navi, who knows his kappa, but if this Chacham Echad is correct, that you could use Shemei Ka'ina, then that would be the best pshat ever. But this is all if he was correct. Zog the Beis HaLevi, but I'm afraid it's not going to work. The Beis HaLevi says, even though we know there's a concept of Shemei Ka'ina, we use it for Mikra Megillah, we use it for Kiddush, Havdalah. We sometimes use it for Birkas HaMazon, Tefillas HaDerech, we do that all the time. It's not going to work for Birkas Kehanim. Why? Because Birkas Kehanim has a halacha, a requirement of Kol Ram. So we learn that from the word Amar Lahem, right? Kol Tzavach Hasmanei Yisrael, Amar Lahem, Amar Lahem, Chazal Darshan from there, B'Kol Ram. Now, if there's a requirement of B'Kol Ram, so that means, so then if I'm listening to the Mavarech, right, the one that's the leader, and he says Yivarecha, and now it's considered in Din, in Lamdus, whatever you want to call it, it's considered as if I said Yivarecha. But could you say that it's considered as if I said it B'Kol Ram? I said it. So if there's no strings attached, no halachas about how to say it, if there's just a Din that you have to say it, so then Shemei Koine can make it like I say it. But if there's a condition that it has to be said B'Kol Ram, then how could my Shemei Koine make it like I'm saying it B'Kol Ram? And therefore, he says, Shemei Koine is not going to work for Birkas Kehanim, and he disagrees with this Chacham Echad, who said that that you could use Shemei Koine for Birkas Kehanim, and therefore, yes, we're back to the drawing board. I don't have any good pshat in that Mishnah, but I'm not going to accept this pshat, because where you need Kol Ram, you can't rely on Shemei Koine.
So we need to create a sound, you say you can't be Shemei Koine? I mean, what difference is it between Megillah or Shofar or anything where you need to project?
Megillah, you just have to say the words. You have to say the words. So if the Torah taught a Shemei Koine,
you have to say that you hear it. I mean, you have to see. You can't shushing. You have to say. Or Shofar, let's talk about Shofar. Shofar,
yeah,
to produce a sound.
Right.
But I can do it for somebody else.
Well, Shofar might be even easier if it's a mitzvah shmiya. But let's say, according to those Rishonim that say that it's a mitzvah tekiyah, and we're yetzu b'shemei ha'koine, so you just have to make that sound, but there's no conditions to how you make the sound. It could be as loud or as soft as you want. So this was the objection of the Beis HaLevi, and the truth is, maybe I'm being a little bit unclear, because as we'll see, this is the way it was it's conventionally understood. Meaning the way most Achrayim, the Stipler has a long piece about this, Chazon Ish, understood this Beis HaLevi, what they understood he was saying is that, we'll put it in these terms, there's a Chakira in how we understand Shemei Kainim. Let's say in a case like Kiddush. Does Shemei Kainim mean that the Torah says to say something, and Shemei Kainim teaches us that there's really two ways to do the mitzvah. You could do it through saying, or you could do it through listening. Listening is also a valid way of being gay to the mitzvah. That's one pshat. Or is the pshat in Shemei Kainet that there's only one way to do the mitzvah, and that's by saying. But you don't have to say it for yourself. You could have somebody else say it for you, as long as you listen. Suddenly, along the lines of shlichus, but it's not really shlichus, because right? I don't know, Mr. Shabagufa, we don't say shlichus, but if I'm listening, then I can have his action work for me. What's the difference between these two pshatim? Am I doing the mitzvah for myself through my shmia, or am I being yoytzi with his maisa mitzvah through his dibur? And the Achrayim understood that the Beis HaLevi came over here with a chiddush, that Shemei Kaina means I'm really doing it for myself with my shmia, and therefore I shmia is kedibur, so I did the mitzvah because I did a shmia. But once there's any other condition attached, like how you have to say it, like karam, so then my shmi is not going to work. But had he understood the other pshat, that shemei kaina means I'm really being yitzi with his maisa mitzvah. There's only one way to do the mitzvah, and that's through talking. But listening allows me to attach myself to your maisa mitzvah. If that's true, then how could you say he's missing the karam? I'm being yaitzeh with your maisa mitzvah. Your maisa mitzvah was done b'kol ram. So I'm being yaitzeh with the maisa that's being done b'kol ram. If Shemei Kaina is the pshat that I'm being yaitzeh with his dibur, then you can't say that we're lacking a kol ram here. It's only because the Beis HaLevi had this chiddush that Shemei Kaina means I'm not being yaitzeh with his dibur. I'm being yaitzeh with my shmia. I'm doing the maisa mitzvah myself. Nobody's being yaitzeh me. I'm being yaitzeh myself. How am I doing it? Not with my mouth and my ears. Shemei Kaina means the Torah said that you don't have to do the mitzvah with your mouth, you can do the mitzvah with your ears. So if that's the pshat, then the Beis HaLevi can make this objection that if there's a condition, if the Torah said to say something and the Torah said how to say it, so with my ears, you could say that I could do the mitzvah as if I said it, but I can't do it with the how. So that's why the Beis HaLevi disqualified Shemei Kaina by Birkas Kehanim, but only because he had this mechudishtik understanding in Shemei Kaina. Along comes, I mentioned the Stipler, the 20th century, but the truth is already the Netziv. The Netziv says, and he doesn't quote the Beis HaLevi, but I think he says that he's heard that some people want to say that you can't use Shemei Kaina by Birkas Kehanim because you need the Kol Ram, as if they think that when you're using Shemei Kaina, you're doing the mitzvah yourself with your Shmia. Zok the Netziv, it's a big mistake. The Netziv says that if this Vart of the Beis HaLevi was right, then in all of the most conventional scenarios that we use Shemei Kaina, it would never work. Think of Kiddush, right?
Can you be Shemei Kaina if the person that's saying it is not mechaven for you?
No, he has to have kavana. Yeah, he has kavana lights. Yes.
So therefore, the call doesn't work if he doesn't have kavana for you.
Yeah. Right. Shemei Kaina won't work without kavana by anything. By Kiddush, by Kriya Seter, Mikra Megillah.
Wouldn't that prove that it's the fact that the person is saying it? It's not you're listening to it.
Even because we're saying he has kavana lahitzi. That's okay. That's a very good taina. It's a very good taina. Why should I just need kavana lahitzi if I'm really being gay to the mitzvah myself with my shmia? So one could argue that then we shouldn't need kavana lahitzi. That's a good kasha on this Beis HaLevi. The Netziv adds another kasha. He doesn't ask this kasha, but he asks the following kasha. What are some of the ordinary cases, right, where we're all comfortable with using Shemei Kaina? So I mentioned before Kiddush, that we do all the time, and also Mikra Megillah. Right, those are two mitzvahs that in every setting, we have one person doing it and everybody else listens. Don't both of those mitzvahs have some conditions that are attached? Let's say Kiddush. There's a mitzvah to say Kiddush, al ha-kois. Yeah, you're supposed to be holding a kois when you say Kiddush. Now, by my family, right, I hold the kites, I say Kiddush, and everybody else listens. Now, if they're being yaitse with their shmia, so you should need, everybody should have to hold a kais. Because they could, the Sharia Kain is like they're saying it, but to make it like they're saying it al hakais, they should have to hold a kais. Why are they yaitse without holding a kais? Teretz is zech l'netziv, because they're not doing the mitzvah for themselves with their shmia. They're being yaitse with my dibur, and my dibur is al hakais, so they're being yaitse with the ma'is that's al hakais. Take the other case that we mentioned. The other case that we mentioned is Mikra Megillah. Mikra Megillah is an even stronger problem. Is there any condition attached to Mikra Megillah? Yeah, it has to be Mitaycha Sefer. You can't say it Bal Peh. You have to say it looking inside. So if Shemei Kainan worked the Beis Halevi's way, that everybody's being Yaitse with their own Shmia, so then, okay, it's like they read it, but if they don't have a Kashra Megillah in front of them, then they read it Bal Peh. How are they yaitze with that? It must be, Zak L'Netziv, that Shemei Kainan means they're being yaitze with my Kriya. Their Shmia just attaches them to my Kriya. They're being yaitze with my Kriya. My Kriya is Mitecha Sefer, so they're being yaitze with the Kriya that was done Mitecha Sefer.
You need a klaf?
The Baal Kriya has a klaf.
What about and the person that's listening?
No, the other people don't need a klaf, but the Netziv, that's the Netziv's argument. That if the Beis HaLevi was right, then it shouldn't be good enough that I have a klaf. They should need their own klaf. Right, it's questionable whether that should be enough to make it mitecha. Is their shmiya then considered mitecha ksav? I'm not sure, but I'll upon him.
What is the language shomei ka'oinah, like he's answering? I always thought shomei ka'oinah means that the guy making the bracha has kavan to be mowed to me. I say amen. So it's as if I'm going through
yeah.
him.
Yeah, that word ka'ina, that word ka'ina makes you think about the
it's
amen.
Misleading.
But it's just misleading, right? L'maisa, the amen is not ma'a. I can't even think of Mikra Megillah. There's no amen there.
Right.
There's no amen in Mikra Megillah. A Kiddush has an amen, but Mikra Megillah has no amen. I mean, the brachas do, but that's not the mitzvah that I'm being yaitzi with.
Okay. So Kiddush, you yaitzi even if you don't say amen.
Right, even the amen is never ma'a. So the Netziv argues very stark. He says, where in many of the mitzvahs where we use Shemei Kaina, maybe not all of them. Okay, I mentioned before Tefillas Haderach, we often use Shemei Kaina. Over there, the Beis HaLevi's Pshat will work just fine. But in many of the mitzvahs where we're comfortable using Shemei Kaina, there are conditions attached. Mikra Megillah has to be Mitaycha Sefer. Kiddush has to be Al HaKais. If the Beis HaLevi's Lamedus is right, then we should always say, it's good, it's like you said it, but you didn't have your own Kais. It's good like you said it, but you didn't have your own Klaf. So Elamai, his Pshat is not right. The Pshat is that you're Yaitse with the reader's reading. And the reader's reading was done ala kaitz, was done with Techaksav. Yeah. So that's why you're Yaitse. So if that's true, so your Kol Rom objection shouldn't be a problem either. Let one person say the Birkas Kehanim, everyone else listens with Shemei Ka'ina, and he's saying it Bekol Rom. So if you're being Yaitse with his saying, so you're being Yaitse with a bracha that was said Bekol Rom. So again, if we would say that everyone's being yaitzed with their own shmia, then we could hear an objection of Kol Rom. But Zak L'Netziv, I'll disprove that pshat, and Mamela, the objection of Kol Rom falls away.
If you're davening from an Esra and the chazan is saying Kedusha, so you listen to him and you're
Shmeikai. That's another example of
Shmeikai. But then you're
Mapsa. Oh, that's a Gevaldik Akasha. So that's Rashi and Tosfos. Yeah, right, that's Tosfos Akasha. Very good. Tosfos says that you should not stop and listen. Tosfos says you should not stop and listen because if you do, you use Shemei Kaina, it's going to be a hefsek in the middle of Yishmai Nesrei. But Rashi holds it's not. And that.
We
pass it like Rashi. We pass it like Rashi. We stop and listen. Tosfos says that you're not allowed to stop and listen, it'll be a hefsek. We hold that you stop and listen. No. As we discussed a couple months ago, Tefillin, right? Tefillin is. So the Netziv, now let me just go back to the beginning of this paragraph in the Netziv. The Netziv also brings down the Chacham Echad. He also calls him a Chacham Echad. There's this mystery Chacham Echad that said that Birkas Kehanim, one person could be Maitzi everybody with Shemei Kainan. And he writes, I don't think he quotes the Beis HaLevi by name, but he writes that there were those that objected. He writes that, of course, this would be a teretz to the Kai, that Shvera Mishnah Megillah about who knows his kapov. This would be the teretz. But he said, I've seen that some object, I've seen or I've heard that some object, and just to give you a bit of just a sense of the relationship here, then we're talking about the Netziv and the Beis HaLevi. The two of them were the co-Rashi Yeshiva in Yeshivas Volozhin until they weren't. And the Netziv was Rashi Yeshiva in Volozhin. He was in his mishpacha. He was a son-in-law of Rav Itzel Volozhiner, I think. And he took over. No, I'm sorry. No, he was, I think, a grandson-in-law. But he was Rashi Yeshiva Volozhin. And then the Beis Halevi, who was at that time the Rav of Slutsk, he joined the yeshiva, and he was the Koresh yeshiva, and then there was friction among the Talmidim. I don't really know the history so well. They had very different styles, and that led to some kind of friction, and then eventually there was some kind of an agreement where the Beis Halevi sort of stepped back, or not stepped down. He became the Skan Rosh Yeshiva. He had been Rosh Yeshiva, and he agreed to be like to take a demotion, and then stayed on for a while. But Al Kapanim, they worked together. They were both, you know, leading the yeshiva, which was the main yeshiva in the 1800s, the Volozhiner yeshiva. These were the two Rosh Yeshiva. The two of them are both responding to this suggestion of a Chacham Echad, whom they both quote anonymously, Chacham Echad, as saying that you could use Shemei Kohanim Birkas Kehanim. The Beis Halevi slugs it up, saying that it's not going to work because there's this condition of Kol Ram, and Shemei Kohanim doesn't satisfy the condition of Kol Ram. The Netziv writes that he says that he heard this objection, but no, it's not a problem. Kol Ram is not a problem with Shemei Kohanim, just like Shemei Kohanim takes care of all the other conditions, it can take care of this condition also. Mm-hmm. Then he says, nevertheless, I also don't accept the suggestion of the Chacham Echad that you could use Shemei Kohanim for Birkat Kohanim. Dr. Netziv, because you know this, we've been mentioning, right? Some of the times that we use Shemei Kohanim, right? Kiddush and Avdalah all the time. Megillah, Kriyas HaTorah, all the time. I mentioned Tefillas HaDerech. Now, you know, that's one that I think often happens because it's in a setting where a lot of people don't have a sitter, and then one person knows it by heart. But we use it for various brachas. So sometimes there's a maila in doing it together. That's true, but at the same time, we know that there are some places where we avoid using Shemei Kohanim. For example, tefillah. Everybody davens for themselves. Even though theoretically you could be yaitz with Shemei Kohanim, but it's based on the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says that you're not supposed to use Shemei Kohanim for tefillah. Because, you know, unless you're an Enei Baki, I mean, if you don't know how to read or you don't know the words, again, that's back then they weren't reading what?
That's how it used to be.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that the reason you're Chazor Sashat? Isn't that the reason for Chazor Sashat?
That was for the Enei Baki.
Right.
Meaning whoever, again, no, they didn't have Siddurim, but you were encouraged, so that's what this Yushalmi was saying, you were encouraged to learn the Tefillah by yourself. The Shlich Tzibur, his real area of expertise was when it came to the Piyutim. The things that were only said occasionally, so nobody else knew. Maybe he had it written down, but there would only be one copy in the town. And then everyone listened. But for the regular daily davening, most people said it along. But there are some people that couldn't. They weren't smart enough. They weren't educated enough. So that's why we had Chazor Sashatz. At least that's one of the reasons why we had Chazor Sashatz. But the Yerushalmi says that somebody that knows how to say it for himself is not supposed to be yaitz with somebody else. We don't use Shemei Kohanim for tefillah. Yerushalmi has a few things where we don't use it. Kriya Shema also. The idea is because everyone's supposed to say it for themselves. Now, if one of those things is tefillah, so Zokta Netziv, I think that Birkas Kehanim is part of tefillah. Birkas Kehanim, it goes without avodah. You're not allowed to do it without avodah. And nowadays, so why don't we say the mitzvah is gone altogether, like Sefiras HaYomim, because we don't have karbanos nowadays? Because it's not so specifically connected to a particular avodah. It has to go with avodah. So our tefillah is a hemshach of the avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. The Kohanim used to do it in the Beis HaMikdash. Now they do it in shul.
Why would you say it's not a tefillah? I don't understand. Why would you think it's not a tefillah? What's the argument you say?
Okay, it's psukim, but it's a bracha, right? It's the pashtus. It's so the truth is, it's interesting that you mentioned that there's a machlekes rishonim about who the words are addressing. Is it Verecha Hashem v'Yishmerecha? I don't remember now the names here. Are the Kehanim really talking to the Bnei Yisrael, to the people in front of them? Or are they really talking to Hashem and telling him to watch over and to bless the Bnei Yisrael?
Either way.
But if they're talking directly to the Bnei Yisrael, so that's quite different than Tefillah. Right?
It sounds like a bracha.
Okay. So, the Netziv is on your side. He says that he thinks it should be viewed as a tefillah. I already mentioned an interesting maramakim. You know, the Rambam's Sefer is divided into sections, right? You know, it's 14 Svarim. And then the Sefer, Sefer Ava is subdivided into sections. It's Hilchas Kriyashma, Hilchas Mila, Hilchas Tzitzis, Hilchas Brachas. And then there's one called Hilchas Tefillah Ubirkas Kahanim. Those go together in one section. Zak the Netziv, if Chazal discouraged us from using Shemei Ka'ina for tefillah because everyone's supposed to do it for themselves, then by the same token, we're discouraged from using Shemei Ka'ina for Birkas Kahanim because everyone's supposed to do it for themselves. So he ends up coming to almost the same bottom line as the Beis Halevi. I mean, they both bring down this Chacham Echad who said that you could do Birkas Kahanim with Shemei Ka'ina, and they both say not to, but for two very different reasons. The Beis Halevi said alumnus in Shemei Ka'ina. It doesn't work for the Kol Rum requirement. Then the Netziv says you have the wrong pshat in Shemei Ka'ina. It really works fine for the Kol Rum because you're being yaitzim with the one that's saying it, but Kol Rum, it's fine. But you shouldn't do it anyway for more of a technical reason. It's tefillah, and it's preferable that everyone says tefillahs for themselves. Of course, the Nafkamina is you know, like Bishas Adchak, according to the Beis Halevi, he's saying alumnus, it doesn't work. So let's say Kohen doesn't know the words himself. He's still, Beis Halevi saying he can't be Yitzvah Shemei Kohen. And then it's Siv is just saying that you shouldn't, you know, be, like Tefillah, but by Tefillah, somebody that's Ein Baki could be Yitzvah Shemei Kohen. So the Siv is not arguing as forcefully as the Beis Halevi is against the Chacham Echad, but they both end up saying that you shouldn't do this. Now, the mystery that attracts my attention after reading through this Netziv and this Beis Halevi, and they're both quoting, they both heard from a Chacham Echad about saying Birkas Kahanim, using Shemei Ka'anim with Birkas Kahanim. So, 150 years later, could we figure out who's the Chacham Echad? So, there is the, what I've heard said over many times, the conventional wisdom is that they're referring to Rabbi Tzal HaKohen. Rabbi Tzal HaKohen was a dayan in Vilna. He was a ben Deire of the two. Again, the two of them were colleagues. Rabbi Tzal HaKohen also was a similar age, and he was not a colleague of theirs, but a peer.
He was a kohen, right?
Rabbi Tzal HaKohen of Vilna. He was a dayan in Vilna. It's an interesting story. There were two brothers who were dayanim together in Vilna, Rabbi Shlomo HaKohen and Rabbi Tzal HaKohen of Vilna. And in the Sefer, Rabbi Tzal HaKohen had a Sefer, Reishis Bikurim, in which he writes, you can find it in Siman Dalet in that Sefer, where he says, he's sort of autobiographically telling about a very interesting experience that he had, that he traveled to Italy. He was in the city of Trieste, and it was just, he says, it's an old Kehillah, and it came to, he was there, if I remember correctly, he says that it was a Shabbos, which is interesting, meaning it wasn't Yontif, it was Shabbos, but also it wasn't the Vachet, it wasn't Chol, right? It was like a little bit Nishta Hin and Nishta Her from the Minhagim that we're familiar with about when to do Birkas Kahanim. But he was in Trieste, and it was Shabbos, so they said, they came over to him to mechabit him with Birkas Kahanim. And then there was like a misunderstanding. He was Versteitzach, you know, I'm a Kohen, yeah. You know. And they went, no, we mean that you should do it. What are you talking about? And then he saw that they meant that he should say it out loud and all the other Kohanim should listen. And he reports that he saw this minig in Trieste. A lot of people have suggested that this Beis Halevi, as well as this Netziv, they both say they heard from a Chacham Echad that you could use Shemei Ka'ina for Birkas Kahanim. So the Chacham Echad was Rabbi Tzal HaKohen who told him, I saw this when I was in Italy, and apparently he thought it was a fine idea, and they were coming to say, no, it doesn't work. The problem is that there's a quote. This is in the Sefer. There was a Yid. Maybe some of you may remember him. I don't know. 20th century Rav, a Litvisher Rav, but he came to Yerushalayim. I think he was on the basin of the Eidah Haredes. Maybe he was the Gaivid of the Eidah Haredes. Rav Pinchas Epstein. You know the name?
No.
Pinchas Epstein. I think he died around 1970. That was before you came?
Before I came.
Okay. So he, and before that he was a Rav in Litta. And he writes, he has a sefer on Masechas Sota. All the sugyas of Birkas Kehanim are in Masechas Sota. And he writes in his sefer, he wrote a sefer on Masechas Sota called, if I'm remembering correctly, I think it's called Mincha Chareva. And he writes over there that he heard from Rav Zalman Sender Kahana Shapira, who is not such a well-known name, but in Litta, in the late 19th, early 20th century, he was a big gadol, very highly respected. His son was much better known. His son was the Kavna Rav, the Dvar Avram Kahana Shapiro, who was the last Rav of Kavna. He was killed in the Holocaust. So his father, I don't remember if he had what shteller he had, if he had I think he was actually, he was a Rosh Yeshiva in Malch, if I'm not mistaken, right before Rav Shimon Shkop. Al-Kapanam, he was a known entity in the Olam HaYeshivas. Rav Pinchas Epstein reports that he heard from Rav Zalman Sender that he heard from the Beis HaLevi that when the Beis HaLevi became aware that Rav Tzal HaKoyen had said or written this, I don't know if it was in writing then, or had said this about the minhag in Italy, the Beis HaLevi said, I would have retracted my objection because I would be mevatel dati. The Beis HaLevi, which, sorry for everything else, it's an amazing quote. The Beis HaLevi, obviously he's much, much better known than Rabbi Tzal HaKoyen. The Beis HaLevi was, you know, clearly, you know, one of the great Gedalia Adar, whose name has become, you know, for posterity, is very well known. But he writes that had he heard this, I mean, he had already published a sefer in which he said that this is a very bad practice, you shouldn't do this. He told Zalman Sender that had I known that Rabbi Tzal HaKoyen said this, I would have been mevatel my das.
So then it's not the Chacham.
Means that if this Shmu is correct, that means he was not the Chacham Echad. He heard it from a different Chacham Echad. And then later, when he heard that Rabbi Tzal HaKoyen held that way, he said, oh, I shouldn't have been so quick to criticize.
But Rabbi Tzal HaKoyen held that way? He just said over that he saw someone.
So I'm not sure. I never saw his tshuva inside. I saw it brought down numerous times that he writes this about what he saw in Trieste. And the truth is that I'm not even sure what to make of this quote from Pinchas Epstein, quoting Rav Zalman Sender, when he said, quoting the Beis HaLevi, that it wouldn't have battled dati. Did he mean because of the greatness of Rav Tzal HaKoyen? Or did he mean because it's a minhag in an ancient kehillah? Maybe that's what he meant. That here I'm saying it's no good. But the Yidden in Italy, that's an ancient kehillah, and if that's their minhag, I mean, like maybe he thought that he was just, you know, saying to the Yidden in Litta that we never did that, and somebody came up with this wild idea, so I'm shooting it down. But if I knew that there's a place in the world where that's their minhag, so I wouldn't have shot it down. So maybe that's what he meant. I'm not sure who he was being mevatel his das to the kehillah of Trieste or to Rav Tzal HaKoyen. But either way, according to this Shmua, that means the Chacham Echad, when he was writing about it, was not Rav Tzal HaKoyen. So that's as far as the research had gotten until very recently.
Maybe he was like cynical, so I heard from a Chacham.
Okay. I saw last night, some people, do very thorough research. Somebody wrote an article about 5 years ago in which he was writing about this inyan, and he came up with the following Maramakam. There's a sefer called the Avnei Shoyham, which was written by, I don't even remember his name, but he was also a Rav from Litta who came to America. This sefer was published in America. I don't remember the name of the Mechaber.
Did the Vilna Gaon live in the same time as the Netziv and the Beis?
No. He was a century before. He was Nifter in 1798.
He was way before.
Yeah, we didn't say anything about the Vilna Gaon.
That's what the Chacham Echad is.
Okay. No, I'm not aware of anything any evidence for that. But in the Sefer Avnei Shayam, is it you're getting me the Mechaber there? Okay. The Sefer Avnei Shayam, he came to America in the early part of the 20th century. But in his Sefer, he quotes from a Yid, Rav Yosef Feimer. Now, Rav Yosef Feimer is a well-known name. That was Rav Yosef Slutsker. He was the Slutsker Rav before the Beis Halevi. But that's not whom he's quoting. He's quoting a grandson of Rav Yosef Slutsker. The last name was Feimer. He was quoting a grandson who was his grandfather's namesake. This Rav Yosef Feimer, we'll call him Rav Yosef Feimer II, said... Now, I don't think...
Baruch HaShmol ben Yisrael HaLevi Tzutkovitz?
Could be, I don't know. Okay. The Avnei Shayam quotes from his friend, Rav Yosef Feimer, who was an inical of Rav Yosef Slutsker, who was the Rav of Slutsk before the Beis HaLevi, just to put everybody back together. The Beis HaLevi, because the Beis HaLevi is best known for, I mentioned two connections already, he's best known as the Rav of Brisk, right? Because he was the first Soloveitchik in Brisk, and then after he was Nifter, Reb Chaim became the Rav of Brisk, and then after him, Reb Velvel became the Rav of Brisk, and that's the family that's most associated with Brisk, and it started with the Beis HaLevi, he was Reb Yashaber Soloveitchik. So that's how he's best known. But the emphasis, he was really only the Rav of Brisk for, I think, the last 4 or 5 years of his life. But he was, for longer than that, he was Rosh Hashiva in Volozhin, as well as a Rav of Slutsk. So he was a Rav of Slutsk after Rav Yosef Slutsker was Nifter. Now this Rav Yosef Slutsker, whose last name was Feimer, he had a grandson by the same name who told the Avnei Shayam that he heard, and I don't know who he heard this from, if this was from his grandson or from his grandfather, but this is obviously, it's a connected family in the Litvish Welt. He said that the Chacham Echad was Reb Zissel Rappaport. Reb Zissel HaKoyin Rappaport's Wolke Hanim. Reb Zissel HaKoyin Rappaport. Who's Reb Zissel Rappaport? So Reb Zissel Rappaport was a prominent figure in the Volozhin Yeshiva. He was a very big gvir, so he was a big supporter of the Yeshiva. He was a Talmud of the Yeshiva. And at the time of the big machlokes that I was referring to before, he's remembered as the big askin that was very involved in trying to patch things up and getting other gedolim. Well, there was like a big conference then with other gedolim. This plan of making Rosh Hashiva and askan Rosh Hashiva, there were a lot of other gedolei Yisrael that were involved in putting this together. And he was sort of the lay leader that was in Mesadir, this whole thing. That's his legacy. This Rav Zissel HaKoyin Rappaport. So it's reported that he was the Chacham Echad. He was a Kohen, and we know that he knew the Netziv, and we know that he knew the Beis HaLevi, right? He schmoozed with them. And maybe he, in the Beis Medrash of Volozhin, he came up with this idea. He said, hey, let's do Shemei HaKohenah, the Birkas Kohanim. And that's why both the Beis HaLevi and the Netziv are responding to it, because they both were in regular contact with the Reb Zissel Rappaport. They heard his big idea, and they both were critical of it. Mm-hmm. This theory makes a lot of sense. Again, I don't know that it's true, but this is Avnei Shayam quoting Rav Yosef Feimer, who says that that's what he heard. That's the latest research on who was the famous Chacham Echad from this story. Al Kaponim, but the story is not quite over.
What was the point of Shemai
Kohen
by Birkas
Kohanim?
Why do we
need it? To allow one Kohen.
What are you counting?
The big revach was that because we had the Mishnah, I think this is before you came in, the Mishnah in Megillah that says that Hamafter Benavi, who knows say as Kapav. Like we're Mechabit him with Duchanin. And then the Shaila, what do you mean we're Mechabit him? Don't all the Kahanim do Duchanin? So according to this, it would mean that he's the one that says it out loud and everyone else listens. Now, there's one more step to this, I guess, this saga. Reb Chaim.
You need all the
Kahanim
to do it? Isn't one of
that's the discussion.
That's good for where we're discussing. Yeah. Okay, Reb Chaim is the Beis Halevi's son. And he's quoted as having said that this chiddush of his father, this vart from his father, this Yisrael from the Beis Halevi, was misunderstood, the whole world misunderstood it. The Netziv, I mentioned before, the Stipler, the Stipler after Reb Chaim, everybody understood that the Beis Halevi was saying that the Shemei Koine won't work because it's a condition of Kol Ram. Those are the words of the Beis Halevi. The way it was understood was, if there's a condition, then that's it, you're finished. Because Shemei Koine can say that the hearing is like saying. So it's like I said it. But if I have to say it plus, I have to say it plus have some other condition, so the Shemei Koine doesn't satisfy that other condition, so it's not going to work over here for Birkas Kohanim because you need to call Ram. That was the conventional understanding of the Beis Halevi. Zok Reb Chaim, that's not what the Tata meant. The Tata meant, when he said that there's a din of Kol Ram, the King Shemei Koine is the din of Kol Ram, what he meant was, Kol Ram means that, when Chazal say Amar Lohem, meaning that it has to be said with Kol Ram, it means that the Birkas Kohanim is supposed to have a Ben Adam L'Chaveri component. The Kohanim are talking to us. That's what Chazal said B'Kol Ram, meaning Kriya Shema, I'm talking to myself. I don't have to say that B'Kol Ram, because who am I saying it to? I'm just saying it for myself. So I could just say it to myself. When Chazal said that Birkat Kohanim has to be B'Kol Ram, what they meant was that it's not a mitzvah to say the words, it's a mitzvah to communicate. Ba'ava. So you have to say it, right? And we say Ba'ava, that's exactly right. Ba'ava. It's a mitzvah to communicate. And if you say it to yourself, like the way you say Kriya Shema, then you're not communicating. That's why there's a din of Kol Ram. So what the Tata meant was that the Shemei Koine can't do the Bein Adam L'Chaveri part. Could you use Shemei Koine for good morning? There's a mitzvah to say good morning, right? Having Makabel is called Adam, Sefer Panim Yafes, right? I'll say that you should always do Maktim Shalom L'Chal Adam. Could you use Shemei Koine for that? I'm walking together with somebody else, and he says good morning, so I could just, stand there like grump on the side. No, that don't mean I'm in the market, right? I'll be the grump, and I'll get, it's like I was Maktim Shalom L'chol Adam. No, to be Maktim Shalom L'chol Adam, you're supposed to make people feel like $1 million. Using Shemei Koine doesn't make them feel like anything. So there's no Shemei Koine on communication. Zok Reb Chaim, that's what my father meant. When he said that because of the din of Kol Ram, so he meant that since the Kohanim are talking to the Yidden, so if just one person says that and everyone says Yoytze, well, then they're Yoytze. They're Yoytze because they had to say something. They were supposed to convey something, to communicate. And by being Yoytze with Shemei Koine, they're not communicating with us. That's why there's a din of Shemei Koine. There's no kasha from Mikra Megillah being Mitech HaKlaf or Kiddush being Al-Kais. Beis Halevi also knows that Shemei Koine means you're Yoytze with his Dibur. But by Birkas Kehanim, you have to do the deeper for yourself because you're talking to other people. They have to hear you say it in order for there to be that communication. Chaim says that was his father's kavana when he made this objection.
Is there a difference between Kol Ram and Kol Ramah?